blessing it is to see this number out. And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Jeremiah and the 13th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. While you're getting settled, we want you to know we consider each of you honored guests and would encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. Find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. Or if you find that I stated something in a way unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. If you have your Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, in the 13th chapter, look with me beginning, if you will, verse 15. Hear and give ear, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you are looking for light. He turns it into the shadows of death, and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. At this time, Jeremiah, the prophet of God, is prophesying to the people, and he's proclaiming to them that the judgment of God is at hand, and that the judgment of God would be upon them because of their disobedience, and in particular, because they would not hear the word of God. In verse 15, notice he says, the Lord has spoken. Notice that he is wanting the people to recognize that God's word has been proclaimed. But notice that he also inclines them that they hear and give ear to the word of God. That they not be lifted up with pride and not heed God's word because they think their intellect is so great, but that they humble themselves to hear the instruction of God. So in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet has a great burden upon him, and it's a burden that is upon preachers in every age and dispensation to get people to hear the voice of God, to get people to hear the word of God. And he raises a question in verse 17. Will you not hear it? God's word is being proclaimed. God's message is being distributed. And Jeremiah wants to know, will the people listen to the word of God? The first thing I want us to think about in our study this evening is the fact that Jehovah has spoken. It reminds me of the words of the Hebrew letter and the first chapter. If you look in the Hebrew letter, chapter 1, and in verse 1, you remember the Hebrew writer states that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. I want us to recognize this evening a very important truth, that the God of heaven has spoken. He has spoken in different ways in different dispensations of time. He has spoken through His prophets. He has spoken through Moses. He has spoken through the fathers. But in our day, He has spoken to us through the Son. And the Son has sent the Holy Spirit. So tonight, if I want to know what God has spoken and know what God has said, I can take His word. And I understand that God has spoken to you and God has spoken to me and He's left us a revelation. He has left us His divine, infallible word. But that brings up something else. I want us to recognize that the voice of God is a divine voice. That God who is in heaven is the Creator. This is not the words of the creation, but it is the words of the one who created all things. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, you remember the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Creator. So when I think about God who is on His throne, God who is in heaven, God is the Creator, I recognize He has the voice of authority. And because God has the voice of authority, I need to heed His voice. In the Roman letter and the first chapter, you remember it talked about how some begin to worship the creation instead of the Creator. You'll find in our day and time, many people listen to the creation and not the Creator. But what we need to remember is God has spoken, God's voice is divine, God's voice is that of the Creator, and we as the creation heed the voice of the one who created us. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else. God spoke with plain language. He's not some dumb idol that you look at and try to interpret some meaning, but God has spoken so man can understand. Now, I recognize tonight there may be some things in Scripture difficult to understand, but I want us to understand one thing that is for sure. God has spoken where man can read God's Word, and it's in plain language. Those things we need to apply to our life, we can put our finger on and say, God has spoken. When you read your Bible, notice with me in the book of Genesis and the third chapter, that when God had made the Garden of Eden and He had placed Adam and Eve in the garden, have you ever noticed that God spoke with plain language? God said, I want you to understand, of every tree in the garden you can eat but one. He said, I have one exception, one exclusion. There's a tree in the midst of the garden. It's called the tree of knowledge of wisdom and good of evil. And He said, I do not want you to eat of that tree. Now, you know, my friend, Adam and Eve had no problem understanding that. Adam and Eve could understand that God said you can eat of any tree but one. Now, they did not heed God's voice. They didn't follow God's command. But it wasn't because they misunderstood God. It was because their heart was hardened and they believed the lie of the evil one. God spoke in plain language where they could understand, yet they, in their own mind, decided to rebel against God. But then if you take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 6. And when you come to Genesis chapter 6, you find a second time God speaks. And when God is speaking to the people in Genesis 6, He tells Noah to build an ark. Now, what's he supposed to do with that ark? He said, you preach and tell the people that all that are on the ark when the flood comes, I'll spare their life. And Noah, for 120 years, gets up, he preaches, he proclaims, he instructs exactly as God told him. And the people ignored what God said. Now, question, could they understand it? Absolutely. They mocked the teaching. They laughed at the teaching. They didn't heed the teaching. But it wasn't because they couldn't understand it. It's because they didn't want to obey it. And so I want us to recognize that God has spoken, and He has spoken in a clear way, in plain language. You can open your Bible today and look in the book of Mark in the 16th chapter and look at verse 16. It said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty plain. He says if you want to be saved, you have to believe, you have to be baptized. But if you do not believe and you are not baptized, He said you'll be lost. Now, there are a lot of people tonight in Shelville, Tennessee, that'll dispute it, they'll argue about it, they'll never obey. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend, they don't misunderstand. Now, they can try to confuse it, they can try to twist it, they can try to turn the Scripture. But if you leave it just as Jesus said it, it's plain. And I want us to understand tonight that God has spoken, not in a matter of confusion. He is not the author of confusion, but He is a God that speaks plainly. And He tells man what he must do. So not only has the Creator spoken with a divine voice, He has spoken with plain language. But then that brings up a third thing. His Word is unchangeable. Now, I need to recognize that the Old Testament has been removed, and that is by the will of God. But as far as His will, as far as God's Word, it's unchangeable. Look, if you will, in the Roman letter and the 7th chapter. And you'll see that it was always in the mind of God to change the Old Covenant. In Romans chapter 7, notice, if you will, in verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Tonight, we're not under the law of Moses. Now, that does not mean the law of Moses is not useful. That does not mean that it's not important to study, but it means that we're not under that covenant relationship with God. We're under a new covenant that is in Christ Jesus. So when you take your Bible, notice that we have got God's final word. We are under the final dispensation. You remember what we read back in Hebrews 1:2, that God in these last days, He has spoken to us how? Through His Son. This is the last dispensation before Christ comes again. Many times you'll hear people, they get confused with the word last days. They think that that means we're in the last few days and that Jesus will come at any moment. Jesus could come at any moment. I don't dispute that. But when He talks about last days, is He saying there's not going to be another covenant? This is the last covenant that's going to be established between man and God. We are in the last dispensation before Jesus comes and ends the world. There won't be another age. The Christian age is the last one. Open your Bible for just a moment and look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what Paul says to Timothy in regard to God's Word being infallible and unchangeable. How it needs to be pure and not changed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at what he says in verse 13. He said, evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving. I'll tell you what that shows. One can grow worse and one can go further from God. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. And he says they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, underscore that, is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Jude in the third verse. You'll remember what Jude had to say in that little letter he wrote in verse 3. He said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, now watch it, which was once for all delivered to the saints. We're not under some gradual revelation. We have the complete revelation of God's Word. We have it right here. This is what God wants us to have. So when an individual comes and they say they have a latter testament and they say you need to read this, oh no, we have what we need. As James said in James 1:25, the perfect, the complete law of liberty. But that brings up another thought in our study. Not only have we recognized that Jehovah has spoken and that He's spoken with a divine voice, with plain language and an unchangeable word, we need to hear the word of Jehovah. And notice why. Go back to Jeremiah 13. In Jeremiah 13, notice what he said. You hear the word in verse 16 to give glory to God. If you do not hear the word of God and heed the word of God, you rob God of what He rightfully deserves, glory. And he says you go to give glory to God. Then you have to accept it as infallible. You know God's Word is mistake-free. Men make mistakes. God's Word does not. Remember in John 17 what Jesus said in verse 17? He said, sanctify them by your Word. Then what did He say about the Word? Thy Word is truth. It's infallible. It's complete. It's perfect in every sense. But then I want you to think about a third thing. When Jeremiah is writing this, he says, do not be proud, but listen. And he says, God has spoken, you give glory to Him. And if you give glory to Him, you will obey. Open your Bible for just a moment to the Hebrew letter and the fifth chapter. And notice Jesus in His obedience. And it is an example for us. in Hebrews chapter 5 when the Hebrew writer is talking in verse 7. He talks about in Hebrews 5 who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now the son learned obedience. If the son learned obedience, you and I must have obedience. We're obedient to God's word. Ever thought, what if God has spoken and God has told us how to live and we ignore it? What good is it to us? What good is it? I heard about a friend one time that he decided he wanted to go swimming. And he said he'd never been to this part of the country, this part of the world. He was in Australia. And he said, I was going to go swimming. And he said he had on his trunks and here he started to go. And he's with another fellow who was a preacher. And that fellow said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to swim. I've never been in this ocean. He said, what about the sign? And the sign said, watch for sharks. And he said, well, I'm just going to go swimming. I'm not too worried about it. And you know what that fellow said? You do what you want, but the sign still says what it means. You know what that fellow did? He said, I'm not going to go swimming. There's sharks out here. No. You know what a lot of times we do? We ignore warnings. We ignore the voice and advice of people who give us good advice and wisdom. And those can have tragic consequences. But I want to tell you something. That's nothing compared to not heeding the voice of God. That's got eternal consequences involved. So back in Jeremiah 13, when he is writing to them, he is saying, will you not hear? And you want to know the reason they would not hear? He tells us. Notice what he says, and he mentions it more than one time. He says to him in verse 15, do not be proud. But then he has to mention to it again in verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. You want to know what keeps people from obeying God? Pride. Individuals that have pride of their own intellect, they do not like to receive instruction from anybody. I have some people say, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. May I say, with all kindness and candor, that's one of the most foolish statements you can make. Who are you to think that you're wiser than anybody and everybody else? You may be educated. You may have gone to the great universities. You may be an intellectual giant. But I want to ask you a question. Are you more wise than the Creator? I read a story one time I thought was pretty good. Some scientists thought that they had reached a point where they said, you know, we can create humans. We don't. If there is a God, we're not concerned about it. And so they made a challenge to God. They said, God, we can make humans. God said, go ahead. So they leaned down and they started to gather a little bit of dirt. And God said, not with my dirt. Anything man has, he has to use resources God has given him. And man needs to humble himself of this pride, intellectual pride. But I want to tell you another pride, this self-righteous pride. This pride that I don't need God, that I'm a good individual without Him. That was what part of the problem was with some of the Jews in Romans 10. In Romans 10, in verses 1 through 3, Paul said that his heart's desire and prayer to God was that Israel would be saved. And he says, I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness. And it's a self-righteousness. Therefore, they've not submitted to the righteousness of God. They're submitting to their own. And he said their own self-righteousness will not save them. Have you ever thought we have to get rid of that kind of pride? Religious pride, intellectual pride. And we need to get rid of self-love and self-way. Individuals that say it's my way or no way. Individuals who won't take up their cross and follow after Jesus. Those are individuals that have a self-love and a self-pride. And you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. The individual who does not do the will of the Father in heaven, the one who does not hear the voice of God and heed the voice of God, he will be lost. And that's a warning. Go back to Jeremiah 13 and look at the voice that warns. It's God's voice. In verse 16, the warning, when he says, he causes darkness. When there's no voice of God, then there's no revelation. People are going to be walking in darkness. They can't walk in light. God is light. And if you remove God, you remove light, love, and life. And you have nothing but darkness, deceit, and death without God. But not only that, notice he said they stumble. If you're in darkness, you're going to stumble. One night I was out here at the building and I didn't have a light and I was just walking around saying, oh, I hope I'm in the middle, because the next thing I knew I'd be tripping over one of the pews. And I thought, oh, if Travis finds me in the floor here, that's the last thing I want to be found by. But I want to tell you something. When you walk in this world without light, you're stumbling away from God. There is a whole community in Shelville, Tennessee. They're groping, they're feeling, they're away from the light of God. They're in darkness. And then I want you to think they can stumble away from Him forever. So what should the attitude of the righteous be? Notice what he says. And notice it's the prayer of God. My soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Now, we must take a look at the attitude of the men of God over the people who will not hear, and they said they weep. Why? Why should we weep? Why should we care? We're already saved if we're members of the body of Christ. Why should I care about anybody else? That's the attitude I'm afraid of a lot of people. As long as I'm saved, forget them. But that's not the attitude of the people you find in Scripture. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says in verse, when he is writing, he wants them to understand that they will be without God. And I want you to think about that he is writing to them that we're saved by grace through faith. And then he comes down in verse 12, he says, at one time you were without Christ. And what does that mean? You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Notice, if you are without Christ and you are without God, you have no hope. Then drop down and look at what he says in verse 20. He talks about having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Either you are being built and you are doing as God says, and you're fitting together as a local congregation, or you're without Christ, without God, and without hope. You ever thought about somebody somewhere loved you enough to tell you about the voice of God? Do you not have that same love and compassion for somebody that they can hear about God and that they are not without hope, but that they are with God and with Christ and thus have hope? And I want us to think about the danger of hellfire when this life is over. Why? Because God has spoken and man has not listened. God has told me what I needed to hear. I read the other day a story and it just kind of stood out to me. There was a man who had been collecting art for years and years, and he had all these pieces worth millions of dollars. And he'd had a son who had went to war in Vietnam and was killed. And his son had wanted to be a painter and an artist as well. He had made a few sketches and drawings before his death. And he'd had a close friend in Vietnam that had knew the Father, and he just wanted to have a piece that the Son had drawn. So he went to the auction when the Father had died, and he was just going to bid on one of the Son's pieces. He knew that wouldn't be high price because he couldn't afford it. So the very first piece they had was a drawing of that the Son had made of him and the friend when they were in Vietnam together. And he bid $10 or $20. Nobody else bid. They're waiting for the high price ticket items. And after they sold the first piece and the man went up, they dropped the gavel and they said, "Auction's over." And everyone looked around and said, "What?" And they said, "The Father had left in his will, the one who took the Son's picture gets it all. Because the Father loved the Son." You know what you and I need to think about? We need to hear the voice of the Son. Because if you're in the Son, you'll get it all. Are you in Christ? If you're here and you need to be baptized or restored, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing.